Tana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we got a great show coming up for you. Veterans Day. I'm going to be set up here later this morning here in about an hour or so. I will be set up at the American Legion on Ronan Street in Missoula. We're going to have microphones open for veterans, or if folks want to come in and honor a veteran and share their story, come on down and join us. Plus, there's a great Veterans Day breakfast going on here. So I'll be set up here shortly. In the meantime, though, you know, I had a great phone call from a guy that I served with, Command Sergeant Major Johnny C, as I call him, Johnny Christensen in Helena. And he said, "Hey, Aaron, I got a couple of guys you got to talk to." And one of them I'm talking to right now, Michael Carmichael, grew up in Helena, graduated high school in Helena, still has family in Helena. But he spent an entire career basically serving in the 5th Special Forces Group and has an organization that we want to tell you about as well. But Chief Carmichael, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. I really appreciate the mission awareness and the mic time. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I guess first off, just what does Veterans Day mean to you?
Actually, Veterans Day is a little sad to me, because in what I try to do in preventing veteran suicide, I guess my goal would to have Veterans Day be every day. But being as it is the 11th month, the 11th hour, the 11th minute, November the 11th, it's a time for me to try and continue to give back to the veteran community, but also educate Americans on the things that they can personally do to prevent veteran suicide. Put the tools that they need in their pockets so that they can keep their veterans safe.
So you grew up in Montana, but now I think you're based still out of course, 5th Special Forces Group, based in around Fort Campbell, Kentucky. So you still kind of call that area home, but I know Montana means a lot to you still, of course.
Right. I live in Murray, Kentucky. We're about an hour 45 north of Nashville. And when people ask me, what am I doing there? I simply say that's where the Army left me. Unfortunately, divorced, and that's my kids live down in Hendersonville. So I'm not going to abandon my kids and move anywhere else for the time being. But this is where I was born. I graduated from Capitol High. I joined the National Guard in 1989 as a junior in high school. My best friends, Lance and Drew Becker, they joined up and they kind of teased me. Hey, guess what I did? Guess what we did? I had no idea. I thought that they might have got a date with one of the pretty girls in school or whatever. But they were like, no, we joined the National Guard. Aaron, I teased the fire out of those boys for probably a couple of months until it soaked in on me that I was going to spend my last summer of freedom without my best friends. And then that was a calling to me that I was going to follow them. So I ate crow. I needed a note from my principal at Capitol High that said, yeah, this guy's not a total knucklehead. He should graduate on time.
Well, hold that thought. I want to hear more. What a great story. And I'm sure you met several other best friends along the way.
Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with partly to mostly sunny conditions for today. High temperature readings will stay in the upper 50s to around 60 in Bozeman, with mid-60s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will drop back down into the mid and upper 30s, and then skies turn partly sunny on Wednesday with highs around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Today is the day that we pause to honor all of those who give and have given of themselves to secure and protect our country. It is Veterans Day. VA Secretary Doug Collins telling Fox,
"Thank you to the men and women I've served with. Thank you for those who are willing to raise their right hand, who say that I believe that our country is worth fighting for. I believe our country is worth leaving my home for."
Collins continuing, saying of the nation's vets,
"You are the thing that has made this country the strongest, the bravest, the most powerful country in the world. Our veterans stand at the core of everything we believe."
The secretary adding that he finds his current work and the chance to be around those who have served on our behalf inspiring.
It's just good to be around those who are willing to say that even for a short time or a long time, that they put this country first, they put this country in a perspective that we love.
There are over 1.3 million active duty service members and almost 800,000 serving in the National Guard and Reserves. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
A bunch of veterans getting together, sharing a meal together on Veterans Day. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We're going to be broadcasting live from Missoula at the American Legion on Ronan Street coming up Tuesday for a special Veterans Day program. We'll have microphones open for you. If you're a veteran and you want to come join us on the show, I'll be set up as early as 7 a.m., broadcasting until 10 a.m. with Montana Talks, live from the American Legion on Ronan Street in Missoula, Tuesday. The rescue.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we're back here with CW4 Michael Carmichael, Helena native, incredible career in Special Forces. He's now started an organization called Check a Vet, checkavet.org. We're going to talk more about that here in just a second. But first off, Chief, I got to go back to just your two best friends. They decide to join the National Guard. You give them a hard time, and eventually you're like, okay, I'm joining the National Guard too. Talk about just those early days, especially after such a, you know, a remarkable career becoming, you know, a Special Forces veteran and so much more.
So I knew from basic training that I loved the Army. And it was maybe a very overly simplified approach, but I didn't have to worry when I was going to eat or where I was going to sleep or what I was going to wear. Everything is fed to you, is spoon-fed like to a baby. And I loved it. I loved the discipline. I loved being with the guys. And I say the guys, Aaron, because, you know, as a tanker and then as a Green Beret, I had a career that spanned 26 years, and I really never worked with women. So that's what the guys are. But I knew from a very early age in the military that it was for me. But at my first enlistment, I felt like I had more to give. So had a strong affinity to water growing up here, Hauser Lake, right up there on Lakeside. You know, we would visit my grandpa. And I wanted to be an Army diver. So to be an Army diver, we had to pass a Special Forces assessment and selection physical, which is very invasive, if you catch my drift. And when the packet was submitted, I was actually turned down to be an Army diver because I was an E5, and it was for E4s and below. So I literally walked into the SF recruiter, physical in my hand. He didn't know it at the time. And I asked him, like, hey, what is this about? He told me, but he told me it would be months before I could go because of the time that it takes to get that physical done. So I dropped the physical on his desk. He's like, can you go in 3 weeks? And I'm like, I can go in 3 weeks. And I went, that was May of 94, the May-June class, where they actually killed four people in that class.
Wow.
It was pretty tough.
Just from the assessment, hey, yeah, we're just testing you to see if you're even going to get into the training pipeline, much less earn the Green Beret.
Yeah, yeah. They killed four people in the heat. They got lost in land nav or just the demanding events. That's a whole story in and of itself. But I didn't find out. You really are in the mushroom factory and Special Forces assessment and selection. You don't have news, no letters from home. They don't tell you nothing. And they never told us that those four great Americans had lost their life in training.
So let's go back to your two best friends that you joined the Montana National Guard with way back in the day, before you went active duty, before you went Special Forces. That's what I do love about Veterans Day, is when you can just get together with some of your fellow veterans, especially if it's guys that you served with, and just enjoy a meal together. You know, like today we're going to be at the American Legion in Missoula, and they're having a Veterans Day breakfast. And, you know, it's just so fun to be with fellow veterans on a day like today. And because especially having a meal together, it seemed like, you know, there's a lot of bad times, obviously, in the military and bad days. But it just seemed like the best times were just sitting around joking and sharing a meal together. And that's what a lot of people are doing this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And And hey, tonight, Veterans Day in East Helena, Montana. The Missouri River Brewing Company was gracious enough. They gave us the venue for free. I decided to take advantage of that gift. And I flew out one of my Nashville friends, Nashville recording artist, Kentucky Tim. And we're putting on a free show for veterans and their friends and family. But also, I'd love to share that Check a Vet is an organization that's not just for veterans. We also include all of our first responders because of that shared experience that we have with our brothers and sisters in that profession. So we're going to kick it off at 6 p.m. until they chase us out. So please, you know, if you're listening to this show, come on out. It's free. We're going to have some auctions. We're going to have a beautiful piece of art from Jesse Purdom, who's my cousin, and he's one of the premier artists and metal sculpture artists in the Northwest. So shout out for Jesse and his art, but there'll be a piece of his art up for auction tonight.
Well, we've got a couple minutes here before our next break, and then hopefully you can stick around with us for a little bit longer, because I want to get more into the backstory of Check a Vet, how this started. And one of the things on your website, you say veteran suicide is preventable. And so I really want to hear, okay, what works? What is working? Because we hear a lot about what's not working. We hear people talking about veteran suicide all the time, but yet it seems like the numbers always get worse. Actually, let's start right there. Let's start right there. We can talk more about some of the great friends you've met along the way, and maybe even some you've lost along the way as well. How is veteran suicide preventable? And why does it seem like the more we hear people talking about it, the numbers get worse?
Aaron, I mean, I learned about your service. So were you ever on suicide watch during your service?
Good question. I took the courses, and obviously, but I myself was never actually on like an overnight suicide watch or anything. No. So yeah, this is good, I mean, good info to share.
Career where I was assigned to be on suicide watch for a guy who was struggling, going through a hard time. And simply put, it's don't leave that person in their time of need. You know what I mean? Be that advocate for them. Help them get help. Help them get the help that they're not willing to ask for themselves. So if nothing else, and it is the veteran in crisis right now.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Ohio's Redistricting Commission has approved a new House map. It could help Republicans pick up two seats in the 2026 midterm elections. It could potentially knock out Democratic Ohio Representative Marcy Kaptur. She's the longest-serving woman in congressional history. The adoption by the commission is a bipartisan compromise. It also avoids shifting map-making control to the Republican-led state legislature. State lawmakers could have drawn an even more favorable map for the GOP. Ohio Republicans currently hold 10 of the state's 15 House seats and would be favored to win as many as 12 districts under the new lines. Kaptur would see her already competitive 9th district transform into one that would have backed President Trump by 11 points. The president carried her current district by 7 points last fall. The other Democrat to get a redder seat is a district in southwest Ohio held by Democratic Representative Greg Landsman. Meanwhile, Democratic Ohio Representative Amelia Sykes would see her 13th district become bluer. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Town and County.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
good Tuesday morning. I'm Lane Nordblund. Late yesterday, senators approved a bipartisan funding compromise to reopen the federal government. The measure now moves to the House, where GOP leaders are hopeful it could pass as soon as Wednesday. President Donald Trump is expected to sign it. Agriculture and rural provisions in that resolution included funding durations to fully fund the USDA through September 30th of 2026 and extends programs under the 2018 Farm Bill through the same date. Agri-appropriations also provided just under $27 billion for agricultural development and the FDA. As for nutrition programs, it allocates over $107 billion for SNAP and reimburses contingency funds used during the shutdown. $30 billion was also credited to the Commodity Credit Corporation, $10 billion to the Farm Service Agency for farm loans with a ban on office closures, and $850 million for technical assistance to the NRCS. Research funding and animal health priorities included $3.8 billion for agricultural research, but did remove funding for climate hubs, along with $1.2 billion for the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service to combat chronic wasting disease, screwworm, and avian flu. $13.5 million was also allocated to livestock funds for electronic identification tags and over $211 million to the Ag Marketing Service and the Cattle Contract Library pilot program. The Senate also rejected an amendment by Senator Rand Paul seeking to remove a hemp restriction, he said, that would destroy the livelihood of hemp farmers nationwide. The amendment failed 76-24 after Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky moved to table it, arguing the bill closes a loophole that lets companies convert hemp into intoxicating Delta HTHC products marketed to children. The final bill maintains a THC limit of 0.4 milligrams per container, effectively banning full-spectrum CBD and Delta-8 products, a decision opposed by hemp producers nationwide. We'll continue to track the progress of the bill in the House here this week. We'll be right back.
Jared and Gordon Clark with Sylvia's Insurance are trusted by ranchers like Turk Stovall when it comes to pasture range and forage insurance.
I really feel like we're dealing with really informed people, and we're really working with really state-of-the-art type of software. What worked in the past and over many years of historical data for our region, what works best for us for where we actually live. And we're data-focused, and it really seems to be a really great fit for us.
The enrollment deadline for 2026 PRF insurance is December 1st. Visit raininst.com for more.
November 13th at 1 p.m. Central Time, Hoffman Ranch will be selling 150 bulls, including 100 Angus and 50 Hereford. These bulls are made specifically for this sale and have not been picked over. They have a three-year foot guarantee and an unconditional first breeding season guarantee. At the conclusion of their bull sale, they'll be selling 250 bred black baldy females. Please call or text Jason at 530-604-5096. Visit HoffmanRanch.com or find the Hoffman Ranch Facebook page. They're located 5 miles north of Thedford.
The United States Fish and Wildlife Service announced it will not develop recovery plans for the gray wolf, saying the species no longer requires protection under the Endangered Species Act. That was announced last week in a report, and the agency stated that wolves listed as endangered in 44 states and threatened in Minnesota have recovered, and further recovery planning would not promote their conservation. This decision reverses a 2024 Biden-era plan to create a nationwide wolf recovery plan by December of this year. Fish and Wildlife Service said its decision relies on 2020 status reviews that support delisting the species, and reaffirmed that no new data warranted changing that conclusion. I'm Lane Nordblund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah.
All right, Chief Carmichael, just before the last break, you were talking about the recipe for the chili. So one of the most recent presentations that I got to attend, actually, Brian Gilman, he's a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was the MARSOC chief of staff at one point. He now heads up Warriors in Quiet Waters based in the Bozeman area. But they hosted a presentation called Just Effin' Ask. And that, I thought, that was a good way to communicate the message that I know other suicide prevention programs try to communicate, which is, hey, just ask the question. If you think somebody might be suicidal, just ask them the question, right? And then there were some other elements to it, but talk about your recipe that you were just getting into before the last break.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Aaron. Just ask the question. There's a huge misconception that asking the question will plant the seed of idea in their mind. And if you care, like I try to care enough to do a good job and lead Checkovet to study, you know, I went from a guy who got paid to break things and hurt people in order to keep America safe for my whole adult life. And now my aspirations are, I'm a data weenie and I only want to be a bigger data weenie so that I can convince people of the facts and the issues of veteran suicide. But you hit it right on the nose, just ask. But there's some really important nuance in the ask. You don't want to frame the question in the negative context. For instance, you wouldn't want to say, you're not thinking of killing yourself, are you? Because then that puts the person kind of in the interrogation mode. Think like when you were a kid, you didn't take those cookies, did you? No, you asked them. You know, I would segue into it a little bit with, hey man, I'm seeing things from you that are concerning to me. And I just want to know up front, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Period. Listen, shut your mouth and just listen. And what I have found, and I've been in the veteran suicide space now for 10 years, 5 years as the founder and CEO of Checkovet. But what I've found, Aaron, when you do ask, or when somebody shares the fact, even as a complete stranger, I've somehow kind of become the suicide whisperer, and it's what I do. I mean, I can almost smell it on people. But when they share the fact that I don't know why, but I feel like hurting myself, and then you can go into it. But there's a ginormous sense of relief that the person has because they've been holding on to that. And it's their personal struggle. And guess what? You just took that weight and you divided it in two, and you're shouldering that weight with them now. Cat's out of the bag. But now the next important thing that you do, and if you look, go to checkovet.org, click on our free suicide prevention tool. It works for everybody, but it is veteran specific. And, what you'll see is when you at the very bottom of that tool, you're going to see the Columbia 9 scale. Okay. The Columbia 9 scale assesses somebody's degree of suicidality. All right. What that means is just somebody who had a shitty day and like, screw it, I'm just going to end it all. Or is this somebody who's got ideology, developed a plan, put a plan together how they're going to do it, resource the plan, and ultimately, you know, the worst case scenario is that person with ideology, with the plan that's been resourced, and they're ready to execute. They're ready to follow through on the plan. So, in each one of those is a different category in the Columbia 9. But because we're trying to arm people with information, it tells you exactly what to do. That's why I say it's the recipe to the chili. Just
you need that. You need that standard operating procedure, right? You need that kind of checklist, like a pilot is going to have their pre-flight checklist or something. It just something that can say, okay, here's what to do now. Here's what to do now. One of the big things is, you know, in Montana, we love our Second Amendment rights. We love to hunt and fish. We love our guns. But for people that are in a tough situation like this, if it's you, the individual, or you, the individual trying to help that individual, you got to come up with a game plan to know, like, hey, let me as a friend hold on to your guns for you, your weapons in the meantime, so that we don't put you in a position to make a split second bad decision with final consequences, mm-hmm. right? That, mm-hmm. I know that's a big question. What are some of the other big ones here? Let's hold that thought once again, because, this is just flying by here. We're going to take another quick break here on Montana Talks. We're chatting with CW4, a retired Michael Carmichael, a 5th Special Forces Group veteran, grew up in Helena, Montana. He's back home in the Helena area right now. We'll talk more right after this. Good question. I took the courses, and obviously, but I myself was never actually on like an overnight suicide watch or anything. No. So yeah, this is good info to share.
Career where I was assigned to be on suicide watch for a guy who was struggling, going through a hard time. And simply put, it's don't leave that person in their time of need. You know what I mean? Be that advocate for them. Help them get help. Help them get the help that they're not willing to ask for themselves. So if nothing else, and it is the veteran in crisis right now.
Pull through the markets these days.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Chief Michael Carmichael, CW4, retired. Checkavet.org is the website. So, Chief, I know you wanted to jump in. So I was talking about guns, and we love our guns in Montana. But if somebody is suicidal, or if you are somebody who's struggling with mental health issues, you know you're in a bad place, come up with a game plan for what to do. Because whether it's a bottle of pills or your small armory of guns, get those in a good place. What's your thoughts on that angle?
Well, nationally, the number one priority to prevent veteran suicide by the VA is lethal means safety, okay? So I like to share that, and what they're trying to accomplish is putting steps and time in between the SNAP ideology. You know, like if something happened and you're like, that's it, I'm going to do it. And you're looking for that convenient way to do it. So we want to insert, you know, between 10 and 15 minutes between the idea and the act. So that's the principle of it. But what I learned at Capitol High in my English class with Miss Joanne Harris, if she's still with us, best teacher ever. You have to understand your audience, right? If you stand up in front of veterans and say, I want you to lock up your guns, you don't understand your audience.
They've turned off their minds. Yeah. And when we talked about that before, there were a lot of people that said, whoa, you got to be very careful with how you approach that issue. Because even if it's just your friend or your family member, you got to be really careful because you might shut them off altogether. And now they don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah. So what I tell people is you need to lock those guns up when they become a temptation to you, when that gun is no longer a hunting thing or a self-defense thing. But when you start looking at that piece of steel as a ticket out, man up or woman up and realize let's be a little bit safe. Let's inject some safety into this equation. And now let's start to separate people from incomes, you know. Don't lose your audience for sure.
Yeah. So check event. So, get into the backstory here, how it started, and how you specifically wanted to be a part of something like this. Obviously, you've got several personal stories, and especially you being a Green Beret, you were small team environment, I'd imagine, for almost your entire career. So you really got to know these guys and a lot of sacrifice with a small crew of guys.
Yeah, so I was a part of another organization that had the model. It was really created out of tragedy and that a veteran had ended their life by suicide. And this organization was kind of formed as a knee-jerk reaction. And it was in the model of let's prevent veteran suicide by taking people hunting and fishing and NASCAR races and this. Hey, I knew from the beginning that that's not a suicide prevention model. That's a model to uplift people. And if you think about the model, right, statistically, I'm a dad weenie. Statistically, whatever you do, you're going to have to do about 4,000 times before you actually catch a real veteran who's in crisis and ready to end their life. So, but beyond that, it's a day-to-day struggle. So if you look at that model, hey, Aaron, I'm going to take you on the most amazing fishing trip. You, me, and Blake Shelton are going to go fill in the blank, and you are going to be the king for the day, okay? And I'm going to say that you're one of 4,000, you know, and you're the veteran in crisis. We'll say we hit the target. This statistically, it's nearly impossible. Knowing what I know now, I knew it then, but I didn't know why. Why that model is actually so bad is the only value that suicidal person gets from it is you're less likely to hurt yourself if you have something to look forward to. Okay. So, but beyond that, okay, let's say you're the guy and me, you and Blake Shelton, you're going fishing. And after that, then what? Now I'm going to send you back to the same environment and situation that put you in crisis and you don't have anything to look forward to.
I've heard that so many times that like, okay, you send a veteran on a great trip and without kind of a broader, more meaningful program or a broader, more meaningful emphasis than just going on a nice trip, not to say that nice trips for wounded warriors especially are not important. That's not what we're saying here, right? But if you want to combat the broader veteran suicide, you just send them on a nice trip and then they get back home and it's like, okay, they're back in the same mess that they started in. They just got to go on a nice trip, right? Yeah. And so it's just like our listeners might go on a nice vacation, but if life is still crazy when you get home, it's still crazy when you got home.
Right. So suicide prevention needs to be grounded in the science and like I study suicide prevention on the global level through the World Health Organization and then through CDC and SAMHSA and all that, just so that I can see what the smart folks are saying. Okay. And I say that because Aaron, I'm going to share something with you. My diploma says Capital High School. I've accomplished all that I have in this world, leading all the way up to a presidential nomination to be the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. When Trump was reelected, my co-founder is a guy by the name of Chris Miller. And Chris Miller was Trump's last Secretary of Defense.
That's right. General Chris Miller, right? Yeah.
No, actually, he retired a full-bird colonel.
Oh, okay. Why did I think he was a general? Okay, yeah.
It's because he ended up being the Secretary of Defense.
Acting Secretary, yeah.
Yeah, so he was my battalion commander, and I don't know what he saw in me, but he always trusted my leadership and judgment. In fact, he made me a combat team leader as a warrant officer, which is very rare to trust the guys with, you know, a warrant officer instead of having a regular officer. So, reached out to him and he was literally just off. He had the box in his hand from the Pentagon, like you just cleaned out the desk, right? As the story goes, when I texted him, I was burying one of my soldiers, or our soldiers in Arlington, who had died of cancer. He couldn't come, but he asked me what I was into, man. And I told him my idea to prevent veteran suicide with education, make people realize that we owe our veterans everything, and call to action to get them involved in veteran lives meaningfully and routinely, day to day. Bring veterans into your circle, and don't embrace any excuses not to do it. For example, one of the biggest excuses that I get from people is, well, I don't think he would ever hurt himself because he's not a combat veteran. But my dad, when he had on, Aaron, did you know that the suicide rate among non-combat veterans is actually higher?
I did. I think Anne-Marie Craig, who started the Commit Foundation, had mentioned that a few years ago even, and I'm assuming that pattern holds true. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that. And a lot of that, too, that'd be a whole nother hour show in itself and into why that's the case. About a minute and a half left here. Chief Carmichael, this has just been so great hearing from you and catching up with you. You know, and as you were talking about Chris Miller and your time in the 5th Special Forces Group on this Veterans Day, I was thinking also about a friend of mine named Parker Hahn, who I think is still on active duty, but one of his best friends from high school in Glasgow, Montana, Aaron Holliman, was one of his best friends in Glasgow.
I remember when Aaron died. We were in the same battalion as Aaron. I was in the same battalion as Aaron.
Yeah.
I knew him. He was a good man.
Yeah, another Montana guy. Yeah. What, 20 plus, gosh, just crazy how time has gone by. But obviously today is Veterans Day, but even on Veterans Day, it's kind of like Memorial Day is every day as well. It might be January 20th for one guy, and it might be October 17th for another guy, right? Michael Carmichael, great to catch up with you. Checkavet.org. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Hey, guys. Checkavet can't do anything about the 44 veterans that we lost yesterday. Trust in me. Trust in Chris Miller. Trust in an organization where the only person who's drawing a paycheck is our bookkeeper. I do this. I don't pay myself at all. All that you give will not only go to the mission, but one of the most important things I pledge to people is I will not spend Montana's money anywhere other than Montana. If you want to invest in your veterans and that investment stays here where you're at, go to checkavet.org. Help us to do something to prevent one of the 44 that we're going to lose tomorrow.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I went through Wall Street South in great detail and specificity in the last months on this program. There are more J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan identifies with New York City more employees in Texas than there are in New York City. You know, Citadel, Ken Griffin, multi-billionaire, investment firm, private equity guy. He's down in the free state of Florida. Wall Street South, I keep telling you, is real. And that is every big bank, every investment firm, every private equity firm, every Wall Street firm there in South Florida. You look at Goldman Sachs. They're going to build 800,000 square feet of facility in the state of Texas. Okay, this migration is real.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, holiday time is coming. That means it is high crime season, but not all crimes should be addressed the same way. We have statistics from the FBI, and that's 2022. Firearms is only necessary less than 1% of the time. Now, the burner launcher covers 99.99% of altercations with the firepower needed to incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. I carry one myself. I recommend every family concerned about safety and security have one as well. The Burner Compact Launcher is the smallest, less lethal launcher that is concealable anywhere. Now, it may be small, but it fires powerful kinetic rounds, tear gas, that can stop an attacker cold for up to 40 minutes with a range of 60 feet. And you can confidently and effectively de-escalate any situation without using lethal force. You don't need a background check. It's legal in all 50 states. It comes straight to your door. Go to BYRNA.com and get the launcher that is right for you and your family.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny conditions for today. High temperature readings will stay in the upper 50s to around 60 in Bozeman, with mid-60s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will drop back down into the mid and upper 30s, and then skies turn partly sunny on Wednesday with highs around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, this is actually a really cool story that we've got on our Montana Talks website right now. Here's the headline. This one might freak you out. This movie star quietly moved back to Montana. But don't worry, it's not some Hollywood leftist. This is actually the hero air tanker firefighter plane that was flown by Richard Dreyfuss in the movie Always. Do you remember that one from back in the day? Anyway, check out the photos of this cool plane, the backstory, and more, MontanaTalks.com. Thank you.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I'm getting all set up here at the American Legion on Ronan Street in Missoula. We'll kick off our live coverage here in just a few minutes for Veterans Day, our special program. Here we'll have open microphones for any veterans that want to come down and join us. Here for the last segment, let's get to some of the news of the day. Fred Fleets with the America First Policy Institute. He was a top national security official in the first Trump administration. Here he is weighing in on some of the big national security issues of the day, specifically our close friendship with Israel and the broader importance to the Middle East. Here you go, Fred Fleets, and then we'll be with you live from the American Legion in Missoula coming up right after this.
President Trump believes the America First approach to U.S. national security means a strong national security policy, a decisive president, keeping our nation out of unnecessary wars, having members of alliances carry their own weight, but it also means standing strongly with Israel and fighting anti-Semitism. Trump's been very clear. He's a friend of Israel. Netanyahu has called Trump the greatest friend Israel has ever had. And the reason is not just because it's the right thing to do in terms of standing with the Jewish people, but standing with Israel is in our strategic interest. Israel is dealing with enemies in the region that the U.S. would have to deal with if it was not there. So it's in our strategic interest. And the president has found a way concerning the 20-point plan to end the war in Gaza to be a trusted interlocutor. I think the biggest threat is Iran and Iran's proxies in the region. This included Hamas. This included Hezbollah in Syria, Iran-backed militias in Iraq, and then Iran itself with its nuclear weapons program and its sponsorship of terror. Israel has destroyed Hamas's proxies and has significantly weakened Iran. And then we joined Israel in June in taking on Iran's nuclear program, which is a threat to global security. Iran was in the position of being able to make dozens of nuclear weapons and is developing missiles that would be able to fire at least at Europe and eventually at the United States. So this is something Israel took a lead in dealing with global threats, and Israel has really done a service not just for regional security, but for American security. Under America First, President Trump wants to keep our country out of new and unnecessary wars, but he will use military force prudently to defend our national security. We saw that when he decided to attack Iran's nuclear program. He is going to avoid sending American troops into certain situations and to using military force. But that doesn't mean he won't do these things when it is in U.S. strategic interest. And that's what we saw with Iran. And that's what we're seeing with this small number of U.S. military advisors that the U.S. will be sending to Israel. They're not going to Gaza. They will not be engaging combat operations against Hamas. Energy independence is a very important part of President Trump's America First policy to free Americans from high energy bills. And so we're not going to be dependent on sources of energy from unfriendly states. But energy in the Middle East is playing another role. By encouraging energy producers in the Middle East to produce more energy, it's driving down the cost of petroleum. And this is not just helping the American consumer. It's putting pressure on states like Russia that needs oil revenue to pay for the war in Ukraine. So there's many moving parts here. It's both helping the American consumer, but by pushing the Saudis, and the Saudis, I think, are happy to help us with this, to produce more oil, it may actually help us end the war in Ukraine. President Trump is not an isolationist. I think there are isolationists on the right and left who would like to have America withdraw from the world and not deal with foreign threats, not stand with our allies. That's not where President Trump is. He's been pretty clear about that. When President Trump decided to use bunker buster bombs to destroy Iran's nuclear program, there were people in the MAGA movement that were not happy with him. But he said, look, I decided what the America First approach to U.S. national security involves, and I've decided that Iran's nuclear program is a severe threat to U.S. national security. It's an attempt to balance Trump's decision to keep our nation out of unnecessary wars, but also to recognize that the use of military force, the deployment of U.S. troops, is sometimes necessary.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.